Thank you, ladies, for that wonderful song this morning. And we do want our Lord to be satisfied with us this morning. He does do so much for us. And He provided our very salvation. Then He cares for us each and every day. Gives us more than we deserve. Better than we deserve this morning. As we look at our Bibles this morning here and the message that God's laid on my heart, this is not something that I'm preaching at anyone. As Dr. Coomer mentioned this past week, we're preaching God's Word. And I want this to be a blessing and a challenge to each and every one here this morning. And it's been a challenge to my life. It's been a conviction to me. It's been something that the Lord has worked in my heart about. And I pray that it would be something that we examine the Scriptures clearly and ask the Lord to show us if there's any need in our heart so that there might be spiritual change, so that we might have a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And that's why we're here. We want to please the Lord this morning. We also want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God wants anyone who's here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus to come to Him for salvation this morning. And that would be our prayer. But we're going to take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And we're going to look at a topic today. This is a sin in the lives of God's people. And something that's been in my life through the years. And I even find it creeps up in my life from time to time, even these days. And I'm sure it comes up in your life too. But that is the word rebellion. And rebellion against God. To go our own direction. And we'll talk about it a little bit. We heard about rebellion this past week from Pastor Coomer. And if we're not walking after the Spirit, we're going to be rebellious people. And we're going to walk after our flesh. And we're going to see a representative here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I was thinking back over my life and reminded myself of a time when I was in high school. And a lot of times in your high school years, you are growing up and you're starting to make your own decisions in high school. And as a young man, you can begin to think a little bit independent and think that you've arrived and you're old enough and that you have the answers. And you can begin to challenge your parents a little bit. And you begin to challenge the rules and challenge authority. And really, it's nothing more than simply pride. And we can say it's rebellion. And I remember going to a Christian school. And there at the Christian school, we had a dress code and rules. How many of us like rules? You know, in our flesh, we don't like being told what to do. And so when we are told what to do and we don't like it, what do? We rebel against it. And we push the rules. And that's called rebellion. And it's a heart problem. And so I had a heart problem in high school, being rebellious against the rules. I didn't like them, some of the rules. You know, one of the rules that we pushed against, and it may seem trivial, but it's not trivial because I was pushing the rules and being rebellious. It showed a heart problem in my life. There was a dress code, and they asked you to have a certain haircut. We were just down south, and Pastor Duffer has a Christian school down there, and a young man came in. He said, "Get your haircut." Just like that. It was great. It was good. But they had a rule there in high school that about your sideburns. And they said, your sideburns need to be in the middle of the ear. And that was the rule. But, you know, some of us didn't like that rule. We thought, well, maybe we should be able to have a little bit longer sideburns. And so while we were supposed to have sideburns in the middle of the ear, we would kind of let them creep down a little bit. But you know what that is? That's breaking the rules. That's rebellion. It might seem like a silly illustration, but it's true. We had rebellious hearts. I came into gym class the one day, and there was a coach there that we had, and he was our gym teacher. It was an incredible lesson. And we look out there, and we're supposed to be getting ready for gym. He says, "You guys just all come and sit right here on the bench. You're going to sit right here." We look out in the gym floor, and here he has a chair sitting there, and there's two trash cans on either side and an extension cord going out there. And we're like, "What is going on here?" It was a shock. And he got up in front of us. He said, "Young men, you all know the rules here. You've been asked to abide by the rules, but you don't like the rules and you're pushing it. You're being rebellious. You're not obeying." And he said, "We're going to fix this problem right now. You're all going to be according to dress code." And he said, "One by one, we're going to put you in this chair. We're going to check your sideburns. And if they're longer than the middle of your ear, we're going to cut them off." And some of the guys didn't like that. They tried to hide in the locker room. But you know, one by one, we had to go in there. We sat in the chair. And you know what happened? He cut them right off, all the way up to above our ears. And we had an honor society banquet that night. And so we all had to go in our nice suits and ties, and we had no sideburns. But you know, here's the point. It was a point well taken. It was a small thing, but in God's eyes, it was not a small thing because it was a heart problem. We had a heart problem. We weren't willing to submit ourselves to the rules. When we're given a rule, we have an authority over us. God expects us to obey. God expects us to willingly submit ourselves to what we are asked to do, because we're accountable to that authority. And any authority that we have is a God-given authority. If they're placed in our life, if I'm not obedient to that authority, I'm not right with God. A lot of young people in their teenage years, they want to claim that they're right with God and they're doing right, but they're not obedient to their authority. And if you're not obedient to your parents, you're a young person this morning in your teenage years, you're not right with the Lord. And you need to get rid of that rebel heart, and you need to submit your heart to the Lord and have not a rebellious spirit, but have a willing, submitted spirit to the Lord. This is the challenge this morning before us, rebellion and its results. I'm thankful for that coach. He taught me a valuable lesson that rules mean something because it pictures your relationship with God. And for me to go against the authorities in that school was nothing short of rebellion. And when we have truth in our lives, God gives us truth here this morning. Whether we're here hearing the truth from God's word at this local church, or you're hearing truth from your parents, you have a choice whenever you're given truth. You can either receive that truth and implement it into your life and allow it to bring change, or you can reject it and rebel against the truth. You have to have truth in order to rebel against that truth. And we have been given so much truth. A lot of you grown up in Christian homes, and you've been given the scriptures from a young age. And when we receive all that truth, we are accountable for it. It's so sad to see so many young people turn their back and become rebellious against the truths of God's word. But this is what it is. We're not right with God if we're not right with our parents this morning. And if we're not right with any authority, whether it be the authority of the local church in our life, and we're not willing to listen to what God says. I mean, he's revealed his entire word right here. This is the will of God. And this is what he asks us to do. And anytime I say, I'm not going to do it, then I'm living in rebellion this morning. And that's a problem. I'm thankful for that lesson that I was taught in high school. When you're a young person, many times you begin to get a little bit independent in your parents' home because you're getting a little bit older. And your mom and dad will tell you to do something, and maybe you don't like that because in your flesh you don't like being told what to do. And so you might give them a snide remark back, or you might do something to show that you disapprove of what they asked you to do. I remember after I was married, I ended up being convicted of some things I had said, some ways I had said some things to my parents, maybe my mom, and even my father. And I had to go back to them after I was married and ask them to forgive me for the rebellious spirit that I had showed in the house many times when they told me to do something. And I was in my teenage years thinking I maybe knew a whole lot better. But really, your parents know so much more. Young person, God asks you to submit to your parents and not be rebellious. Rebellion is not worth it. When we see 1 Samuel 15, we're going to see the example here of rebellion. We'll see what happens in his life. God doesn't want us to be rebellious people. All throughout the scriptures, God speaks about rebellion. And this is a great spiritual problem. It's a need that we have. I've seen a lot of young people grow up. They've been given so much truth, and they turn from it. And they're rebellious against that truth, rebellious against their parents. And it doesn't end well for those who are rebels. What is rebellion? It's really wanting our heart to go our own direction. It's wanting to go after the direction of our flesh. Our flesh, again, I already mentioned, it doesn't like being told what to do. We bristle against that. We want to do our own thing. But really, God wants us as believers to have a submitted heart. And that's the key issue. Do I have a soft and tender heart towards the Lord, a heart that's submitted to his word? Young person, if you have a heart that's soft and tender towards God, you're going to have a soft and tender heart towards your parents. And you're going to willingly submit yourself. You might not understand it, but you're going to agree to it because that's what God's asked you to do, to be submitted to your parents. It's so important that we don't rebel. Rebellion is literally to say no to God. When I look at it throughout the scriptures, it's to be defiant. And we as God's people, we've been given so much truth. We have so many privileges here today, but we can tend to be defiant at times. And we can say, I'm not going to go that direction. Or we can say to our parents, I'm not going to do that. We can be stubborn. Throughout the Old Testament, rebellion and stubbornness often go together. You can look at different passages and it says they're stubborn and rebellion. It is also to push the limits and the rules. If you know someone that's always pushing the limits and always pushing the rules, it's evidence of a heart that's not submitted to the Lord. That is a heart of rebellion. And if you're always pushing the rules this morning, I'll just say you're in rebellion this morning and you need to deal with that before the Lord. It's so important. God expects us to yield ourselves to him with a willingness and a right heart, a right relationship. Rebellion this morning is a heart issue. If I'm rebelling against the authority, I have a heart issue in my life and a heart issue with the Lord. And I need to deal with that this morning. It's also to have a hard and an adamant heart, it says in the Old Testament there. To be adamant. where I'm not going to do it, where I'm going to go my own direction. It's also transgression. The word for transgression in the Old Testament literally means to be rebellious. And we know what that is, to turn and go our own direction. You know, we were all born that way this morning. We're born with a rebel heart. We'll talk about that. Rebellion simply is to refuse to submit to authority. No matter what that authority is, whether it's God's authority in my life, my parents' authority in my life, the authority of the local church in my life, the authority of the pastor in my life, whatever that authority is, if I refuse to submit to that authority as a husband, if I refuse to submit to the authority of Christ in my life, I am in rebellion. And I need to deal with that. It's a heart problem in my life. There can be different types of rebels. We know that there's out and out defiant rebels who will tell you no to your face. I'm not going to do that. But there's then also quiet and compliant rebels. And that's the most dangerous. Because even when you go to a Bible college, you can be a quiet, compliant rebel. And you can agree to do something, but on the inside you disagree with it and your heart is not right with the Lord. And if we just are compliant this morning, we still have a rebellious heart. We need to deal with that this morning. Pastor Kemp down there in Darlington, South Carolina, where Brother Adam Sheetal is today, he used to tell us when we got to Bible college, he said, you give me 3 days and I can tell you who the rebels are on this campus. And he's talking to Bible college students. How could that be? Because you're dealing with the old flesh. And even in a Bible college where we're given all these rules, we have people that don't like being told what to do. And their flesh rises up and they're not willing to submit themselves. And it's amazing. Rebels tend to go around and hang out with other rebels. They would find one another in a school body just right off. And it's so important this morning that we deal with the rebellion in our life. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, God's people Israel are used an example over and over of rebellion. God said in Isaiah 1, I've nurtured and brought up children, and they had rebelled against me. Even a perfect father ended up having some rebellious children, the children of Israel. The prophet Ezekiel, over 15 times, he calls the children of Israel a rebellious house. That's incredible. They've been given so much. They've been given so much truth. How could it be that God's people would have a rebellion problem? Well, whenever God gives us truth and we choose not to obey it, we have a rebellious heart. And that's why Ezekiel was sent to God's people, Israel. I could understand people who were outside the camp of Israel being rebels, but to have Israel themselves, God's children, be rebellious against God, when they have so many blessings and so many privileges, that's not understandable to me. But that's where we are many times as God's people. We find ourselves living in rebellion. We've been given so much, and yet we choose to not apply it in our life. Psalm 78:8 says this, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Here we have, again, speaking about God's people. They're being a stubborn and rebellious generation. Another verse is in Isaiah 30, verse number 9. And this is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Incredible to me that God's people, Israel, were considered by God rebellious children, rebellious people. And Jeremiah 5:23 says this, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. Do you catch that? Where did it say rebellion starts there? In the heart. It's a heart issue. If I'm rebelling and not doing what God asked me to do, and if I'm asserting myself against the authority of my parents, I have a rebellious heart. And a rebellious heart is seen in my actions. If I have wrong actions in my life, the root problem is I don't have a right heart. I need to deal with my rebellious heart. If you would, you're in 1 Samuel 15. Turn over to Psalm 107. Dealing with rebellion. We'll look at verses 8 through 15. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. That's not a very good picture. It sounds like there's a life of captivity there, a life of darkness, not light, and being bound there in affliction and iron. Why? Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God. When we're given the words of God and we rebel and we're stubborn, we choose to go against God's word, we don't obey, we won't submit ourselves, what does it bring in our life? It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring light. It brings captivity. It brings us into bondage and binding. It's such a sad thing to see people rebel against the words of God. It says it contemned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. The picture of rebellion and asserting ourselves against the authority of God is not a good picture. It'll certainly bring us destruction into our lives. It's so important that we have a right heart, a heart that's submitted unto the Lord this morning. I like verse 13, though, speaking about the rebellious. Is there hope for a rebellious person this morning? There certainly is. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. So praise the Lord. If we've been guilty of rebellion this morning, the key is to realize and recognize it and deal with that before the Lord. Call out to the Lord. Ask him for forgiveness. And what does he do? Look at the next verse in verse number 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Now, they went into darkness and bondage because of their rebellion. But if we realize it here this morning, we can call out to God, ask him to deliver us out of the circumstance that we're in, the consequence that we're in. I believe God will bring us out of that captivity. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is a merciful God. I'm not saying that we always get the consequences relieved in our life. But God can reverse some of the course of our rebellion and restore some of the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten in our life. Back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're thinking about our problem with rebellion this morning. The Bible speaks about us all being born with rebel hearts. Hearts that are rebel against God because of sin. You know, because of Adam's sin this morning, every one of us have a sin problem. We all have the sin nature passed down from Adam. And so we're all born in sin. And that it means our heart goes after whatever it wants to go after. Our heart wants to go after its lust, and it doesn't want to submit itself to the authority and the accountability of God in our life. And we're born without a relationship with God, living in rebellion, actually living as the enemy of God. We need to realize that this morning and realize that God loved us this morning in our sin and in our rebellion. And God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for your rebellion on the cross. What a privilege that is. I'm reminded of Psalm 68, verse 18, that says this. And this speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is David speaking about Christ. Thou hast ascended on high. Just speaking about Christ after his ascension here in victory. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. That passage is repeated in Ephesians. Here the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, ascended in victory, received gifts. And he puts this little phrase in there, for the rebellious also. You know, that was you and me. We were rebellious against God, and yet Jesus Christ paid for our price of our sin on the cross and even received gifts for us, that he would give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then even gifted men to be able to become a member of the local church after our salvation this morning. Praise God that he would die for us upon the cross. We're reminded of Isaiah 53 this morning, how every one of us, like a sheep, had gone our own way. That's rebellion, to go my own direction. I don't want to go God's way. I'm going to go my way. But what did God do for us in our rebellion? It says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And for our transgressions, Jesus Christ, for our rebellions, Jesus Christ was put upon the cross. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never come to him for salvation, realize this morning that you have a rebellious heart because of your sin problem. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for that sin upon the cross and wants to save you this morning. He wants you no longer to have a rebel heart, but to come to him and receive him as your Lord and Savior. That is to submit willingly to him and say, I receive that gift of everlasting life. So many people say, I don't want that way. I'm still going to retain my rebellion. God wants repentance this morning, to get rid of rebellion and to repent before him. We're all born with the rebel heart, and we need to have our heart made new by the Lord this morning. When did you receive Christ as your Savior? When was your life changed? We're in 1 Samuel 15. We're going to look at a representative this morning of rebellion. And this is King Saul. He had great privilege. He was called by God to be the first king of the United Monarchy. And what a privilege that he had to be even called to that position. But we see that he failed because of his rebellion. I want to look at this passage with us this morning. I pray the Lord will challenge us, challenge me, challenge you. The first thing this morning is rebellion's representative. Rebellion's representative. Here we see King Saul, and he was called by God here to be this king. He had great privilege. If you remember back just a couple chapters back, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was a very tall man. When everybody looked out over the camp of Israel, you had everybody, and then here's King Saul. It kind of reminds me of my family picture sometimes. You know, you have, here's everybody, and then there's me. I just stick out like a sore thumb. But here was Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody else, a goodly man to look on. And God said, he's the one who's going to be the first king over Israel. What a privilege to be able to fulfill that responsibility. Look at verse number 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. What a great privilege that Saul had to be chosen by God out of all of God's people to be the king, to be the anointed. And being the anointed king, he was going to be asked to fulfill God's will for his people Israel. What a great privilege. You know, he was little in his own eyes when he first became king. But something happened and he began to become proud. Look at verse number 17, if you would, with me. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes over Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? When Saul was anointed king, he actually was small in his own eyes. In other words, he didn't think himself so important. He didn't think that he was able to do it. He didn't think himself someone special. He thought, I'm small. How am I even going to do this? But pretty soon his heart became lifted up with pride, and he began to think great thoughts of himself and think higher thoughts about himself. It reminds me of Satan, the first rebel. He thought himself greater than he ought to be, and he inserted himself against the authority of Almighty God. There is the first rebel right there, Satan. And pride is the root issue of any rebellion, because I began to think greater thoughts about myself than I should. And I'm no longer small in mine own eyes. And I look down with a haughty spirit even upon my parents or upon other authority figures in my life. Pride here is at the root of rebellion. Here is rebellion's representative this morning. We're going to look at Saul's rebellion, what God asked him to do in this chapter. God asked him to destroy the Amalekites, which was a great privilege. It was a prophecy God fulfilled that someone would come one day and destroy the Amalekites. And God chooses the first king, King Saul, to go and wipe out all of these Amalekites. And so he gets to fulfill, hear the word of the Lord, and then fulfill this prophecy. But he does not obey. Look at verse number 1. We'll read here the second part. He chose him over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. God is going to ask Saul to do something special. He's going to command him to do something. He's going to command him to take out the Amalekites. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how that he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. When God brought up his people out of the land of Egypt, the Amalekites came out against them and fought against them. And that was where Moses sat up there on the rock and Joshua was out there winning the battle in the valley. Remember that, folks? And God here gives this responsibility here to Saul to take out these Amalekites. He asks him to do it. But what does Saul do? He's not going to follow through with what God asked him to do. Let's continue reading. Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. He wants him to listen. What a great privilege it was, not only to be called the king, but then also here to hear the voice of the Lord. God gives Saul this great privilege, and he gives you and I the great privilege every day to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. But if we choose to go against that voice of the Lord, that's simply rebellion. And this is what Saul does. Verse number 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy how much? All. He says, utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. So God said, you're going to take them all out. You're going to wipe them out. I remember their sin. Saul, you're going to fulfill the responsibility or the prophecy that has gone on before. And so he gives them great instruction. And what happens in verse number 4 here? And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, laid wait in the valley. So it sounds like he's going to fulfill the responsibility. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. There's the first mistake. Who was he supposed to destroy? All the Amalekites. But here he takes the king alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9 is a key here, understanding here his rebellion. Whenever God asks us to do something and then there's a but, that's a problem. Saul is not going to follow through. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of all the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So God asked him to destroy the Amalekites, and it says he would not. So whenever God asks us to do something and we hear the voice of the Lord and we will not do it, we're making a willful choice. That is rebellion against God. And what does God think about this rebellion? God's going to define it here over the next couple verses. If you would look at verse number 11, and we'll just write down and jot down some of these thoughts about his rebellion. This is what God says in verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. Rebellion here, God describes it as turning back from following God. God asks him to do something, and God expects him that Saul would follow after what God asked him to do, but he turned back from following after the Lord. And so God calls it disobedience and to turn back. Verse 1 through 3, God had asked him with his voice in the word of God to obey. And yet he turned back from following God's commandment. He would not do it. Again, in verse number 11, God says this. Not only did he turn back from following the Lord, but he hath not performed my commandments. Hath not performed. Well, didn't he go and wipe out the Amalekites? Only partway. What does God think about partial obedience? It's disobedience. It's disobedience. I tell that to my children all the time. If you obey, don't obey immediately, completely, and with the right attitude, it's disobedience. This is what God says. He hath not obeyed my commandments. He would not do it. Also, in verse number 13, he begins to lie and try to deceive about it. Samuel comes to Saul in verse number 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Was that really true? No. He's deceiving or trying to deceive Samuel. Say, Samuel, I did what God asked me to do. But Samuel knows better. He's discerning. And in the next verse, in verse 14, he says this. Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? A spiritual discerning person can discern if someone's in rebellion or not. They can pick it out. They can say, this person has a rebellious heart. And Samuel could see the rebellion here of King Saul. He saw that he was being deceitful and lying. He also shifted blame. Look down at verse number 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. He wasn't willing to take personal responsibility. He didn't say, I have done it. He tried to pass it off on someone else. And rebels often do that. If you call them out on their rebellion, they would say, well, they, my parents, this. Or the church, that. Whatever it is, they will never take personal responsibility for their rebellion. It's so important that you and I take personal responsibility for our choices and our actions this morning. He says in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So he says, they spared them, the people spared them. But when it came to the other half, the killing, he said he identifies himself with the obedience, not with the disobedience. So he's shifting blame towards other people. He also began to mask his disobedience with a spiritual cover-up. Look at verse 15. He says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Did that make it right? Does putting a spiritual spin on our disobedience make us right before the Lord? Many times we do this. We know what we're supposed to do. God asks us to do something, but we choose not to do it, and we can give a spiritual reason why we're not going to do it, or a spiritual cover-up for our rebellion and for our sin. This is what Saul is doing. It's so important that we take responsibility and don't try to make decisions pragmatically here or just with expedience because we think it would be the best thing for us to do. It's so important that we don't live by pragmatism or expediency, but rather by biblical principle. And Saul was guilty of not living by principle. Remember in chapter 13 how he forced himself to offer the sacrifices? He shouldn't have done that. He should have waited for Samuel. And he said, but I thought you weren't going to come and the people would be scattered from me. So he just in expedience makes a sacrifice, which he wasn't supposed to do. He should have lived by biblical principle. He masked his disobedience with spiritual cover-up. Again, God calls out his rebellion in verse number 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? So God says, you didn't obey my voice, Saul. I asked you to do something, Saul, and you just would not obey. He also calls it again in verse 19. He says, you did evil in the sight of the Lord. What does the Lord think when I disobey and don't keep his word? It's evil in the sight of the Lord. Also, then he lives in denial in verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Samuel's telling him, you haven't obeyed. And Saul's saying, yes, I have. I have obeyed. He's not willing to admit and confess that he has done wrong. He says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say you follow the Lord and you've done what you wanted to do. It's one or the other. And God holds him accountable for his rebellion here. He also begins to blame shift again in verse number 21. No personal responsibility. He says, but the people took of the spoil. So again, it's the people's fault. They took the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Note that word there. Should have been utterly destroyed. Saul, as a rebel, knew what should have been done. He knew what he was supposed to have done, but he chose not to do it. Rebels always know the truth, but they choose not to obey it. And this was Saul. He is the representative this morning of rebellion. He also then rejected the word of the Lord in verse number 23. In the second part of the verse, it says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And we as believers, we have that great privilege. The Lord wants to speak to us. He's given us every command here in Scripture. This is the voice of the Lord speaking to us today. And when I hear his voice and I refuse to obey, I'm rejecting the word of the Lord. That makes me a rebel today. So if I'm in disobedience to anything in this book right here, I'm living in rebellion. I'm rejecting the word of the Lord. That's what the Lord thinks about it. What does God think about rebellion? Look at verse number 23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That means it's identical. God holds it on the same plane. If I'm rebellious against the word of the Lord, it'd be the same thing if I was involved in sorcery, witchcraft, necromancy, this type of thing. And that was all punished by death. God said if there was any witches or sorcerers in the land, they were to be put out by death. Because that is a serious sin against the Lord. And God says, if you are a rebel this morning, it's the same consequence. I view it the same plane, the same level. If you have rebellion in your heart, you might as well be guilty of being a witch or being involved in witchcraft, sorcery this morning, or Satanism, something like this. Deuteronomy 21, if we could turn over there. This deals with the passage here on rebellion. I praise the Lord that this passage is not enacted in this day and age which we live. Because if it was, I would not be standing here this morning. And I'm sure maybe others in here would not be standing in or sitting here this morning. And remember what the penalty for witchcraft, sorcery, and necromancy were. It was death. They would be punished by death. Well, here in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, verse number 18, says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that which, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Remember the word hearken there. That's important. That means to listen. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I'm so thankful we don't live in that dispensation, but we live in the age of dispensation of grace this morning, where there's forgiveness even for our rebellion. There is still consequences for sin. God wanted his people to fear the reality of rebellion and what it would bring into their life, the destruction of not being willing to hear, not being willing to hearken, and being stubborn to push against our parents' rules or the rules of God's word, even in our life. Rebellion here is guilty, or is just as guilty of being able to be put to death before the Lord for witchcraft. Back in 1 Samuel 15, it's also seen here with being stubborn. God says to Saul, you were stubborn. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It'd be just as much as if we had a little idol here and we would bow down and worship that idol. God says if we're stubborn, we're just as much guilty as being an idol worshiper this morning. We're guilty of stubbornness. I'm guilty of stubbornness all the time. I need to deal with it before the Lord. What is stubbornness? It means to push or to press with the shoulder. It's insolence is what it means. And many times if we're pushing against the rules and being stubborn against our parents, God says that's the same as worshiping idols in his book. That's a sobering thought this morning. It's so important that we deal with our rebellion. in verse number 24, God says this about Saul. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed. That's an interesting word there, transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Who should Saul have feared? He should have feared the Lord. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God and keep his commandments. We're not to fear other people and what they think. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So Saul here makes an excuse and says, well, I feared the people. But Saul, you should have feared the Lord. And you and I here this morning, if we're to have a right relationship with the Lord, we're to fear the Lord. We should recognize what rebellion will do in our life. We see what it did here in the life of Saul. One thing I wanted to note here in verse number 15, when Samuel and Saul are having this exchange back and forth, Saul says to Samuel an interesting phrase. He says, thy God. He doesn't say, my God. And this is a big difference between Saul and a David. David had a personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, we know that he knew the Lord, and I believe Saul knew the Lord in salvation as well in an Old Testament sense, and we'll see him in heaven. God gave him a new heart. He was turned into another man. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he even prophesied. There was a difference in Saul's life. But Saul did not have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord like David had. Three times in the passage in this chapter 15, he says to Samuel, thy God, thy God, thy God. Saul should have recognized it was his God too. And he had a responsibility to obey his God and submit himself to his God. But it wasn't personal to him. His relationship to God was more about Samuel and what Samuel should do with his God. Young person, if you're rebellious this morning, perhaps it's you're viewing it as your parents' God or the church's God. He's your God too, and you need to be submitted to him. Have a personal relationship with him. Rebellion's representative is found here in Saul. God sent Saul on this special journey to fulfill the word of the Lord, and Saul chose to disobey. Verse 18 says, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey? God sent Saul on a special journey. What a privilege. And he refused to obey. God sends us on a spiritual journey to obey the Christian life. And we have a responsibility to obey the Lord this morning. And if we choose to disobey, it's simply rebellion. Rebellion's representative is found in King Saul. But what happens in his life? I would like to note rebellion's ruin. What does it do to the life of King Saul? Rebellion here this morning is a sure way to ruin your life. It ruined King Saul's life. It'll ruin your life. If you're rebellious against the Lord, if I'm rebellious against the Lord, it'll bring ultimate ruin into our life. What happened? If you would look at verse number 11, it says, and it repenteth me. This is God speaking to Saul, to Samuel. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. The first thing is God repented that he had made Saul to be king. God repented. It means he changed his mind. He made Saul king. He called him. He anointed him. But because of Saul's rebellious spirit in chapter 13 and chapter 15 here, he said, God changed his mind. He repented. Look down at verse number 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. He changed his mind. You know, he would have been king and his family after that for a long time if he would have obeyed. But he chose to go against the Lord, and so the Lord repented. The Lord changed his mind. Can the Lord do that in our lives? The Lord would have done this. The Lord would have done that. But because of our rebellion, God says, that's it. I'll go a different direction. God is sovereign and in control over all these things. But it doesn't mean that we can affect an outcome in our life because of our disobedience. It's our choice. God repented that he had made Saul to be king. Another thing that God did in verse number 23 says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. God says, I reject you. I reject you. God repented. God then rejects Saul from being king. God says, you're not going to be king anymore. That changed Saul's life. It changed his direction in life. Ultimately, it would bring destruction. But we could be rebellious here this morning, and God will bring rejection into our life if we continue in the path of rebellion. God rejects Saul from being king. Look at verse 26. You'll see it again. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Boy, a spiritual person here is turning his back on a rebel and not going to walk with him. That's a scary thing. Think about it. If you have godly folks that are not willing to walk with you anymore might stop and check up on what's going on in your life. But he says here that you've rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. I don't want to experience the Lord's rejection in my life for anything that the Lord has for my life. And because of that, I desire not to be rebellious, but to have a right heart and a repentant heart before the Lord. When Saul repented here, I don't believe he had true, genuine repentance. When he said to Samuel, "Turn again, let me worship the Lord," he was not willing to really deal with the sin. He was saying, "Honor me in front of the people." He wanted just to save face and look good before the people publicly, but not really have a heartfelt confession. That's the difference between Saul and a David. Why God could use a David, but not a Saul. God rejects Saul from being king. Then in verse 28, it says this, "And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." To rent. God literally rent the plans that he had for Saul right out of his hands. And God can do this. God takes it away from him. God can take away things that he had for us in our life and give them to someone else, a person better than us. If we're not willing to do it, God will go to our neighbor, someone who's better than us spiritually, and say, "I can use them, but I can't use you because you're rebellious." What a sad place to be. Ultimately, Saul persisted in his rebellion. And what happened? I'd like you to turn over to Acts 13, verse 22. Acts 13, and verse number 22. These are some strong words, but this is the end of rebellion's ruin. It says, "And when he had removed him," so God repented that he had made him to be king. He rejected Saul. He rends the kingdom from Saul. But then finally, God removes him from the earth. If we persist in our rebellion, God will have to remove us out of the way. That's a scary thought this morning, but a very true thought. This is what God did. He said he had removed him. He removed Saul. He raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, "I have found the son of Jesse." Well, remember, he had found Saul before, but he couldn't use him. So his ruin brought him down to having to be removed out of the way. And then God found somebody that he could use. He found a man after God's own heart. He says, "I have found the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." What is God looking for? He's not looking for people who are going to go their own direction and say no to God. He wants people that are a man or woman after God's own heart who are willing to fulfill all the will that God has for them. God's looking for people that are willing to obey everything in this book right here. We don't want to go the way of Saul and have him give something to someone else who is better than us. We want to be that person who has the Lord's hand and blessing upon our life this morning. God found Saul's neighbor, David. Interesting wording there. He went right next door, found someone close by that God could count on that would fulfill the will that he had for his life. I don't want to be that way in my life. I pray that you don't want to be that way in your life. Ezekiel 18:30 is a passage we need to look at. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 30. Says this, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions." The word for transgressions is the word for rebellion. God says, repent. What's the answer towards being rebellious? Repentance. To turn from it. To turn from the transgressions. "So iniquity shall not be your ruin." Iniquity, transgression, was Saul's ruin. It destroyed him. His rebellion destroyed him. It's so important that we repent before the Lord and that we turn back to the Lord and have a heart that wants to do whatever God asks us to do so that iniquity will not be our ruin this morning. That rebellion is not worth it. Finally, in 1 Samuel 15, rebellion's remedy. What's the answer to all these things? We saw the representative in Saul. We saw his ruin in his life, what it did. But what does God expect? Rebellion's remedy, God's delight. That verse 22, which is our memory verse as a church body for this week, says this, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" What is the delight of God today? God wants not just empty sacrifices and outward compliance. He wants a heart obedience, a submitted heart. What delights the heart of God? To find and look down and see a man after God's own heart who shall fulfill all his will, who has a submitted heart of obedience. Young person, it's God's delight that you would submit to your parents. Church member, it's God's delight that you would submit yourselves to the ordinances of the local church and the pastors there. That's what God asks us to do. When God gives us commands in Scripture and we choose not to obey them, we're in rebellion. Whatever that command is, simple commands, husbands, love your wives. If we're not doing it, it's rebellion. If we're not being faithful to God's house, it's rebellion. It's what the Word of God says. We need to submit ourselves to God's Word. God wants us to follow Him. Look at verse number 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. God wants us to follow Him, to follow His Word. When He tells us to do something, obey Him, follow Him. He wants me to follow Him. In verse 11 and verse 19, He wants me to perform His Word. It says here that Saul turned back and did not perform God's commandments. God wants me, as a believer, to perform His commandments, to obey Him. God wants my humility, in verse number 17. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. As a believer, I need to be humble before the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He shall lift you up. The humble receive the grace of the Lord, but God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I need the grace of God in my life in order to accomplish His will. God wants me to be little in my own sight. John the Baptist had a great view of himself. He must increase, I must decrease. Paul had a great view of himself. I'm just the chief of sinners. And thank God that He's chosen me to be able to serve Him. God also wants our honesty. In verse number 20, where Samuel said this, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He didn't obey. He was not being honest. God wants us to be honest with Himself. I'm so thankful for David when he failed. What made the difference between David and Saul? David was honest, and he confessed his sin openly, Psalm 51. Saul was not willing to be honest about his disobedience before the Lord. God does not want our sacrifices externally this morning. He wants an internal obedience from the heart, according to verse number 22. Let's read verse 22 again. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Better than all the outward sacrifices that we could give to God, the outward conformity is to have an inner heart of obedience. That is better. That is what God desires. And then the rest will follow. God wants us to listen this morning to His voice in verse number 22, to hearken than the fat of rams. It's a blessing when your children hearken to you and listen. God wants us as His children to hearken, to bend the ear, so that it might change our life and we might obey. If you're on the path of rebellion today against God, His Word, your parents, the local church, if you're in any type of stubbornness against authority or the rules, if I'm in any stubbornness or authority against the rules, that's God-given in my life, any God-given authority, I'm not delighting God, according to verse 22. Hath the Lord great delight? I'm not delighting God. God delights in seeing His children submit to Him and obey Him. Doesn't it delight your heart, parents, when your child is submitting to you? I mean, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's a hard thing to bear. And just for the Lord, it was a hard thing for Him to bear to watch His children grow up and be rebellious against Him. He gave them so much, so many blessings, yet they chose to go against Him. We grieve the heart of God when we're rebellious. There's many a Samuel tonight. Look if you would, down at verse number 11. God said, It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. A little phrase here. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Here is a godly Samuel, seeing Saul's rebellion, and what's his response? He's crying about it to the Lord all night. There's many a godly Samuel in parents, pastors, around the world, and they're crying because of people's rebellion. They're crying to the Lord about it. Don't make your parents be the one to cry about your rebellion. Turn back to the Lord, have a submitted heart. Psalm 68, verse 6 says this, God setteth the solitary in families, and He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. If I'm going to be rebellious, it's not going to bring joy, blessing, fruitfulness, and fulfillment. It's going to leave me in a barren, dry, place of desolation in my life. I don't want to be in that place of barrenness. I want to be in a place where I'm delighting God and not on the path of destruction and desolation and dryness in my life. Proverbs 13:15, which we heard this past week, the way of the transgressor is hard. Transgression in the Old Testament means rebellion. If I persist in rebellion, it's going to bring about a hard life. It means literally to row upstream. That's what the word means. And that's what rebellion does. People are trying to row up the current and they're fighting against the current when God wants us to turn around and go down the current with God's grace. Good understanding giveth favor, is the first part of the verse. Don't be rebellious. Don't go after the way of the transgressor. It's hard. We must repent this morning of the sin of rebellion. Humble ourselves under the eyes of the Lord this morning. God will not use a rebel. He'll get a David, a man after God's own heart. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've never come to Him for salvation this morning, today is the day to do that. Say, I have a rebel heart that needs salvation. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior today. We could take a Bible and show you how you can have Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you have any area of rebellion in your life this morning, or if I do, we need to confess that to the Lord, forsake it, and run back to the Lord and say, I want to delight you by having a heart of obedience and submission to you this morning. Let's close in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we're humbled and convicted when we hear the story of Saul and how he heard your voice. He had great privilege. He was called by you to take out the Amalekites, and he chose not to obey. He chose to pragmatically and in other ways do things his own way because he thought better. We pray that you would help us to have a people here in this church body and in the homes within this church body that are humble and that are submitted, that want to delight you, that are willing to put their flesh out of the way and be led by the Spirit, not controlled by our rebellious flesh. I do pray for any here who do not know the Lord as their Savior, that today you would convict them of their need to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and be born again and have everlasting life, a free gift. We pray that you be with some here in families who may be struggling with rebellion with their children. We pray that you work in their hearts and lives. We pray that they would be a godly Samuel and pray for the hearts of their children, Father, this morning.